Valid.
V'gam ani shamati. V'gam also hakimosias brisi yitom lasteis lamis eretz kanan eis eretz migurehem asher goruva. I've also established my covenant with them, with the others, with Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, to give to them the land of Canaan, Eis, Eretz Migurihem, the land of their sojourning, Asher Goruva, which they have, Goruva, which they have lived temporarily. What does all this mean? Let's see Rashi. Rashi, V'gam Hakim Yisrael, so I have established as Brisi, V'gam also, V'gam, Kishe Nir Eisi Lohem Mikel Shakai. Hashem says, when I appear to them, when I appear to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the name of Kel Shakai, Hitzavti vehemadati brisi beini uvenehem. When I appear to them with the name of Kel Shakai, hitzavti means I set up, I established vehemadati, and I stood up. Two words which to us mean the same thing. Obviously, there must be something very deep, very significant about this. To establish and to set up brisi, a covenant, beini, between me, uvenehem, between me and between them. To do what? Lasseis lemeseretz kanan, to give them the land of Canaan, Avraham, the parish asimila, Neymar, ani kel shakai, mesavich ol lezarecha charecha es eisim gurehem, v'yitzvah kilcha lezarecha etein es kol aretzot sokel, I'll give all these lands, v'akimoyisies hashvua shenishpati, which I have sworn li Avraham. So when it comes to Yitzchak, Hashem is saying to Yitzchak, ditto, whatever I said to Avraham, I'm saying to you, v'oyis hashvua shenishpati l'Avraham, b'kel shakai, Amarti liyakoiv, ani kel shakai prey urve. Yes, aretz azois, asher nadarti lohem, asher, fine. So Rashi cites the three psukim. Rashi, he goes and he cites the three psukim, the three times where we find Kodesh Baruch Hu promising to the others, to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that he's going to give them the land. And each one of these times he says kel shakai, or he says explicitly, to Avraham, he says Kel Shakai, right? That's the beginning, the first pasuk. Li Yitzchak, he does not say the word Kel Shakai. He says Kilchol Zarecha Tenes Kol Aretz Ochel Vakimosias Hashavua Asher Nishpati Le Avraham. So when it comes to Yitzchak, Hashem says to him, refer back to, look it up, go to the book, look up what I promised your father Avraham. The same thing is to you. And thus, being that when it came to Avraham, Hashem said to the promise was given to Kel Shakai. So therefore, you to Yitzchak, the promise is given over b'kel shakai. Now when it comes to Yaakov, the oisa shavua shenishvati l'Avraham b'kel shakai, omar to Yaakov. Yaakov, Hashem said the same exact words, ani kel shakai, prey urvei, v'yes aretz v'goymer. So Rashi basically, in essence, has cited for us the references, chapter and verse, where Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, with the name Kel Shakai. And Rashi continues, Hare Shenodarti Lohem Velo Kiyamti. Rashi concludes, look, Moshe, took a vow. I promised these lands to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and guess what? Velo Kiyamti, and it was never fulfilled. Therefore, that's what it means, that's what Rashi said in the beginning of the section, that I made promises, but I did not fulfill my promises. They never had the benefit of witnessing Hashem keep his word, of Hashem fulfilling his promise, to witness the full power of Hashem. But to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you will merit this, you will see the fulfillment, as we discussed yesterday in detail. Now let's take a look here at the Targum. Targum over here, Pasuk Dalet says, V'yaf, also, Akemis Yos, I have established kiyomi imhoin. I have established my bris. Okay, the word birisi, the Targum is translating over here as kiyomi, my covenant imhoin lemitan lehoin, to give to them yos ara dichnon yos that ara. The land which you dwell, which you are asher goruva, which you are dwelling in. Okay, the land upon which you dwell in, that's how we translate those words. And now let's see over the parish over here, Pasuk Dalet, in the parish, Akemis is the bris. Akemis, Loshan Hatzavah v'hamodot, is that what Rashi said, those words?
וכן פרש רשי, ואין כאונס המקור קיום השבוע, כמו וקימוס יש השבוע אשר נשפט לאברהם, שתרגומו וקיים, it's a different word. When it comes to an oath, he's telling us a very interesting point. When it comes to an oath, the word that the Targum uses, the word va'akayim. When it comes to a bris, the word that the Targum uses is the word akemis. Okay. Toisov vusayin. What does this word mean? This is the land which your forefathers were gerim. They were sojourners. They did not live there. Mishoresh yosev. The word yosev means to dwell. And this land, they dwelt in Shemikoro Yoshei B'loshen HaKodesh Ois Tov B'Aramis Tumuras Oishin B'loshen HaKodesh. He's telling us a very nice rule. General nice rule that you know, there are certain rules of Aramaic. And the rule in Aramaic over here is the letter Tov. The letter Tov is replaced with the letter Shin. Why is that so? I do not know. Maybe I'll tell you a drush why that might be so. Kemo Shor Tor. Here's a great example. Great example. An axe in Hebrew, in the Gemara, is called a tor. Torah. You have the whole Bava Kamma talks about an axe goring its fellow axe. So the shin is replaced with the letter tof. Now take that principle over here. The word of yoshev, okay, the word yoshev is to sit. The word yoshev turns into the word yosev. So the word over here, toisov usoin, is just an elaboration upon the word yosef. It's just a grammatical form of the word yosef, which we know means now yoshev, to dwell. So he's telling us over here that the word asher goruva in the pasuk, which you dwell, goruva, is equivalent to as if the pasuk would have said asher ata yoshev, which you are sitting in, yeshiva. Yeshiva turns into a yeshiva. Now, there are a couple of examples. All I know, I can remember from memory now, is, let's say the letter beis. In Aramaic, the letter beis is changed with the letter pei. For example, barzel, which is a Hebrew word which means iron, in Aramaic turns into parzel, or parzela. The beis turns into a pei. And here is the other example, is where a shin turns into a tov. A shor turns into a tor, or a tor. All right, let's now go. So all we learned over here is that the bris is not the same thing as an oath. A bris, a covenant, is not the same thing as an oath. Otherwise, the Targum would have used the same words. The fact that he used a different vocabulary, that's one principle we learned. And the second principle we learned over here is that the word in Aramaic, shor and tar. Next pasuk, pasuk hey, v'gam, and now Hashem says to Moshe, let's talk about the Jewish people. Let's talk about the mission. V'gam also, ani shamati, I've heard, I've listened, es na'akas, the cries, b'nei Yisrael asher mitzrayim ma'avidim oisam, I hear them crying because as an outgrowth of the slavery which the Egyptians are imposing upon the Jewish people, vo'ezkor, and I will remember es berisi, my covenant. Rashi, v'gamani kmo shehitzavti v'hemadati habris. Rashi keeps on coming back to these two words. These two words are his favorite words here. The word shehitzavti v'hemadati. These two words, just like I have established habris, yesh olai l'kayim. It is my duty, obligation to fulfill. Lefichach, therefore, shemati, I've heard, es nakas b'nei Yisrael hanoyakim, who are crying out. Asher mitzrayim ma'avidim oisam, vo'eskar, oisei habris. This covenant, ki bibris ben habasarim amarti loy, v'games ha'goy asher yavoy d'don anoch. It's Rashi, we're telling us over here, the reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to remember is because that was part of the covenant. Part of the covenant was v'games ha'goy asher yavoidu, that they will serve, don anochi, I will judge. I will judge, that was all built into the covenant. Okay, let's see, these are very deep things, I really don't know what's going on. We're just reading words, like we're in kindergarten, but we'll do the best that we can. Pasuk hey. Pasuk in the Targum. V'yaf also kodomai shmi'ah. Now, do you remember yesterday? We learned yesterday. Now, yesterday we learned about Vaidaber. We learned the word Vaidaber, Dibur, the Targum. The Targum said that we learned the Rambam. The Rambam said that the Targum never, ever translates any action of Hashem in physical terms, with the exception of speech. And here, to prove the point, is exactly this pasuk. Here it says Hashem is listening. The Targum will not translate the word listen the same way he would translate the word listen in reference to a human being, because Hashem is not a human being. And therefore, that's why it says here, ko do mai, shemi'ah, it is heard. It doesn't say that Hashem hears. It says, before me, it is heard. Again, it's a subtle difference, but yet there's a world of a difference. It doesn't say, okay, I don't know Aramaic, so I can't give you an example of what it would say, but this whole word is not part of the translation. It's embellished into the translation to indicate that Hashem does not listen. Hashem is not a human being. Before me, not me. I'm not a listener. I'm beyond. I'm not a human being. Don't attribute this quality, this ability to hear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All I mean this is before me, before my essence, it is heard. Okay, it's very subtle, but it's a significant statement. Do not attribute the midah of listening before to Hashem, yos, what is heard, kivilas, and this is a very interesting word, kivilas is translating for the word na'akas. Now, I think the word kivilas, we ordinarily in the Gemara translate this word as the complaint. You have a complaint. That's not what we would assume the word na'akas means. The word na'akas, we're used to understanding this to mean a cry of anguish. Pain, physical pain, someone's oivei, someone is exhausted, someone is being tortured, he's being beaten. That's not, the word complaint in our minds is normally associated with, go to a lawyer, you sit down, you brainstorm, and you put into words, eloquent words that will be presented in the presence of a judge to express an idea or to prove a point. There is a degree of intellect, an intellectual approach to presenting your problem. That's not what we would normally assume. We normally assume the word nakas is an emotional response, not an intellectual response. The word kivilas, we have to see what he says in the side, but normally this word would mean an intellectual response to a crime. B'nei Yishol, the mitzra'ei maf lechin, that word means work. The Egyptians are imposing crushing labor. They are forcing them to work. Behoin, this that the Egyptians maf lechin behoin, u'dechirna yos koimi, and same exact thing. Vo'ezkar, Unkelis refuses to translate the word eskar in terms of a physical way. The same way a human being remembers, it's always yos ki. No. I take that back. It's not correct here. Udechirna, I remember. Okay, I remember. I guess remembrance is something that is not direct. I guess remembrance is not really a physical thing. Hearing is airwaves. Speaking, okay, but this it seems to be something spiritual. Udechirna, it is remembered, yos koimi, my bris. Okay, kiyomi is my covenant. Okay, let's see what it says over here in the parish. It says over here, Pasik, okay, behoin, targuma, okay, the targum is kilo loshna mikra mavid mohem, avulchairo lefi, loshna kosa yitachlam, yoshoin, Okay, the word behoin means they are enslaving them. The word behoin is the translation of them. The Egyptians are enslaving them, the Jewish people. And here he's saying that the Targum is not giving us the correct word. He should have said the word yosoin. Kela'el. Shetirgim sham ve'afluchu mitzrayos. Mitzrayos. I'm not sure what he means over there. But he's not giving us an answer. I don't know why. Udechirna, I remember. Milu mukeves udechir ana, I remember. Okay, I'm disappointed that he did not explain here the word nakas. I'm very disappointed. I thought he would explain over here the word nakas, kevilas. Because kevilas, I'm almost certain, means a complaint. Not, like I told you, an intellectual response. Not an emotional response. And, okay, he doesn't explain. I don't know why. He doesn't want to pick up on that. And there is no more Rashi on this. Okay, so that is... did we do all the Rashis? Yes, we did. Now we go to the next page. Next page is... let's make sure the right page. This page, there's a number on this page? No, of course not. But then we have the Pasuk, Pasuk Vav. Okay, stop share. And let me put on the screen Pasuk Vav. Nope. What am I doing over here? 1 second. One moment, please. I'm all mixed up here. 1 second. What here is going on? All right, here we go. I got it now. Now we go share screen. Okay. All right. Now we go to the next pasuk. Okay, I hope you can see this. Can you when I put it on the screen, are you able to see what I'm putting on the screen?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm laser, you can see when I put on the screen everything?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Now we come to pasuk vav. L'chein, therefore, emor, levnei Yisrael, so now I want you to say to the Jewish people, ani Hashem, tell them ani Hashem, and tell them this is the pasuk here, the dal l'shonis of gula, yotzeis yeschem, I'm going to take you out of mitachas of Eretz Mitzrayim. The first lashon of gula. I'm going to the Tzalti Yeshem, I'm going to save them, may avoid the sun from their servitude. The Goalti Yeshem, I'm going to redeem them, Bizrei Netuya, Uvishvatim Gidolim, and with great judgments. Okay, let's do another pasuk, because we have the Dal Lashonis. V'lekachti Yeshem Lilam, I'm going to take them to me as a people. V'yisi Lachem Elokim, I'm going to beat you as a god. V'idatim, you will know, Ki Ani Hashem Elokichem, Hamotzi Yeshem Mitachas Sevlois Hashem, you will then know that I am God who has taken you out of the burdens of Egypt. Okay, Pasuk Ches will leave in the moment. That's the fifth Lashon of Geula. But these two Psukim that we've just read, Vav and Zayin, the entire Pesach Seder is focused on these two Psukim. These two Psukim, obviously, you can imagine every single word of these two Psukim is going to be, is a gold mine in everything you want to know about Judaism. Okay, this is almost very, this is very little Rashi. Rashi is very, very mekatzer. L'chein, therefore, af al pi osa hashavua. And notice Rashi is, we're vacillating between a shavua and a covenant. So Rashi, therefore, because of the shavua, emor levnei Yisrael mi Hashem, ha-ne'mon behavtochosi. So we have a very powerful idea here in Rashi, that Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that the message, the primary message that you shall deliver to the Jewish people in the time of their complaint, they are complaining, tell them in response to the Nakas B'nei Yisrael, okay, I'm going to translate the word Nakas, as we said before, they have a complaint. The Jewish people are presenting to Hashem an intellectual argument that this is just not fair. We have been robbed. Hashem, we invested in you. We had faith in you. We did everything that we were supposed to do. And you have not done your part. Again, this is not, we're going to learn like the Targum, that this is not here a complaint of an emotional complaint. This is just a theological complaint. make believe they're having a debate. They're having a debate in what's that word? We can never remember that word when they had the debates between the Christians and the Jews in the 12th century, the 13th century, the 11th century, the disputation. There are many disputations throughout Jewish history. And make believe, basically, the Jews are always saying that we lost the disputation. We don't have good answers. We have legitimate theological complaints. So Hashem is responding to the theological complaints. And he says to them, just tell them one thing. Have faith. Stay the faith. Have emuna in Hashem. Al pi oisa hashavua emol of nation the Hashem haneman behaftachosi. The otseisi eschem ki chen hiftachtiv, I made a promise. The acharechen yetzu, you will leave Egypt b'ruchush godol. Sivlois mitzrayim, the burdens, toirach mason mitzrayim. What is Rashi telling us? The burden of carrying Egypt. Klal Yisrael, they carry the whole Egyptian society. Rashi over here is telling us that when the Jews left Egypt, the whole society collapsed. Klal Yisrael, they were probably embedded in every single industry, in the banking sector, in imports, exports, technology, finance, in engineering, in technology. The Jews were embedded in every area of Egyptian society. And when the Jews, so therefore, what in essence, the Jews may have been a very small minority of the population of Egypt, but they carried the whole Egypt. That's what it says. Sivlois t'tarach, the burden, mason mitzrayim, to carry Egypt, to carry them, to sustain them, to keep the country functioning. And when you are involved in making sure the country is surviving, you don't have much time for yourself. You don't have much time for your family, much time to devote to personal growth. And that's called a burden. It's a very powerful insight Rashi is giving us. What do you call in life a burden? And what do you call in life a pleasure? What's called a burden? Burden is when all of your time is taken up, all of your energy and all of your talent is taken up by supporting and helping people that you don't care for, and they don't care for you. You're just a prisoner to them. You have, for whatever reason, you're trapped into a certain situation where you have to devote your effort, your time, your talent to sustain them. And they will never reciprocate. And there's nothing for you to gain from all of your efforts, because you're a nothing in this country. That's called the Masa. That's the Sivlois Mitzrayim. Okay, so now let's see what it says here in the Targum. So far we learned over here that HaKadosh Baruch over here, we're trying to understand the puzzle that HaKadosh Baruch over here is giving this an intellectual complaint, and HaKadosh Baruch is giving them a response to have faith. B'chein therefore, Emar say levnei Yisrael, Ana Hashem, I am Hashem. Va'apek, which we learned according to Rashi, means tell them, have faith. Teach them about the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, which means have faith. And what will happen? Va'apek yoschoin, I will take you out, migoy from dechoik, okay, pulchan mitzroei. So here we have Rashi. Rashi obviously is coming to attack the Targum. The Targum translates, we had the word sivlois before, I remember when we had not that long ago, the same idea. The word dechoik is the translation of the word sivlois, a burden. And according to Unkelis, the word sivlois means pressure. You feel pressure. Of the work, the choik pulchan, he's taking two words to translate the word sivlois mitzrayim. The choik pulchan, the pressure of working for the Egyptians. Are these two words, the choik pulchan mitzroei, are they the same thing as the Torah Masa Mitzrayim? I would suggest not. I would suggest that there's a very big difference. The Torah Masa Mitzrayim would appear, I'm making things up now, but I'm just trying to compare one to the other. This means you are still in control. You have not lost your mind. You have not lost your senses. You're just very busy. You are fully healthy in mind and focus. It's just that I don't have any time. All of my time is taken up. I wake up in the morning. I have to do A, B, C, D. And then when it comes in, as soon as I finish those four tasks, I have to go do the next four things. I'm fine. I'm healthy. I'm very capable. I'm not burnt out. But I just don't have any freedom for myself. It's a burden to carry the masa, the burden. It's a Torah, it's a trouble to carry the burden of Egypt. The words of Doichak, Doichak Pulchan Mitzra'ei, to me, gives me the impression that you're under a lot of pressure. Dechoik means to push, to squeeze. This word appears to have a connotation, at least to me, is you are being asked to do more than what you are capable of. It's not just someone is stealing all of your free time and takes up all of your time. Someone is forcing you to do more than what you are physically capable of doing. And when that happens, the person will eventually have a nervous breakdown. A person will physically be crushed. His body will give out. If you're telling a person to go carry stones and to do work more than he can carry, he's going to die. He's going to get sick. He's going to die. If the torment is a mental torment or this enormous pressure, he'll have a nervous breakdown. That's what it appears to be, according to the, that's what it appears to be. Because we always have to understand that Rashi, we always do this in the Shir, that Rashi, we're working here with the assumption that every single word of Rashi is said in response to the Targum. And Rashi looks at the Targum, and many times he fills in some details. Rashi wants to give us a little more flavor. He'll tell us psukim, he'll tell us midrashim. He will go off on a tangent and say things that are really nothing to do with the Targum. That is a fact. But then there's always this element that Rashi, he picks up on certain words and he gives us translations or ideas. And you look at the Targum, and that's not what the Targum said. And Rashi doesn't say kitargumoi, or doesn't say make any mention. And you get the impression that Rashi is so the Targum said, and he's specifying these specific words more so than any other word in order to make a statement that the Targum, he got it wrong in his opinion. Rashi has a different approach, different opinion than the Targum. The Targum wants to go say it means Dechoik Pulchan Mitzroei. That's what it means, the civilized Mitzrayim. He wants to use the word Dechoik. I don't like that word. That word, according to Rashi, has a connotation that there's too much pressure. They're going to be crushed. And they're going to something horrible will happen. No. It wouldn't be in the benefit of the Egyptian society to crush the Jews more than what they can do. It would be much better for their own interest that they should not crush them, but just steal all of their time and resources. Torah Masa Mitzrayim, the burden of carrying the Egyptian society through working and being busy with them. Okay, so that is my suggestion as to why we have a very difference. Now we go further over here in the words. Then it goes over here. Then we come to the word Vitzalti. Now this is a very important word. What is the word Vitzalti? Va'a shei zev. We have this word only about 1,000 times in the Targum in the Nevi'im. When we learn in the Shir in the morning, the word, the Targum, this word is always highlighted, va'a shei zev. And here you see what it means. It means over here, Vitzalti is to save. And with Yoschein, mipul chonhoin from their work. Va'efroik, I will redeem. That's Geula. Yoschein bidra miramam. Now, bidra means an arm. That is miramam, that is elevated. The word nituya means that's stretched.
The word Netuyah itself, the word Netuyah itself, what would the word Netuyah mean by itself? It would mean that it's does not necessarily mean lifted up. It can be stretched to the side. Targum says miromam, up. Okay, that's a very interesting translation. And then it says uveshvatim gedolim, which means uvedinin rav revin, din, judgment that is great. Pasuk zayin velakachti va'akorev, I will go near. I will bring near Yoschoin Kodomai. Velokachti doesn't say I will take. I will draw you close. That's a very beautiful translation, creating an entirely different connotation of the word velokachti. I will draw you near to me, la'am, lehavei lochoin, and I will be to you le'eloh, as a god, v'sid'un, and you will know, arei ano Hashem, elokachoin, da'apeik, that takes you out, Yoschein Nigoy Dechoik, that has taken you out, that is Moitzias, and then take note here, that he is, as okay, the same thing he said before, the Apeik, fine, from the nation that's Dechoik Pulchan Mitzrayeh, that's taking you out from beneath the burdens of Egypt, the same exact translation, Dechoik Pulchan Mitzrayeh. So we have over here the Dalid Leshoinois of Geula. So what do we learn today so far in this part? We have now four new words for the Dalal Lashonis of Geula. Va'ashe Zev. That's V'yotzeisi. No. V'apeik. The first of the Dalal Lashonis is V'apeik. V'yotzeisi. The second Lashon is V'yitzalti. Va'ashe Zev. The third Lashon is V'go'alti V'efroik. And the fourth Lashon is V'akorev. So today we learned something new. Everyone knows the Dalid Lashonis of Geula. V'yotzeisi, V'hitzalti, V'go'alti, V'lokachti. But not too many people know the four Lashonis of Geula in Aramaic. And what are they? V'apeik, V'ashezev, and V'akorev, and what I missed over here. V'yotzeisi, V'yitzalti, V'go'al, V'yefroik. Here we go, one more time. V'afeik, V'ashezev, V'efroik, V'akorev. Okay, that sounds really fancy. These are the four Lashonis of Geula in Aramaic. I will take you out, I will save you, I will redeem you, Efroik, and I will draw you near to me. The way these words sound in Aramaic is not the same way they sound in Hebrew. When we talk about V'yotzeisi, I will take you out. Okay, V'yapeik. All right, that's not a problem. The word V'yitzalti V'eshezev, I will save. All right. The next word is Geula. This is a little bit interesting. The word Geula, redemption, V'efroik. Because the word Efroik has a connotation of giving money, something in exchange. V'efroik, when you talk about redemption, when we talk about redemption in our vocabulary, what do we think about redemption? It means we go free. It means that the gates are open, we imagine ourselves in prison, and one day the warden comes and says, okay, you're free to go. And he opens up the gates, we're free to go. Did anyone pay for our rescue? Was there anything given in exchange? Did some wealthy person say, listen, let me pay the government $1 billion in order to redeem these people? Ransom? No, that's not the way we picture the word Geula in our minds. When we think about the word Geula in our minds, we think about a free Geula. No cost, free, no expenses. But the word V'efroik doesn't mean that. If I'm not mistaken, the word V'efroik that we're accustomed to in the Gemara is a word which has a connotation, a redemption that comes about through the payment of money. And indeed in Chumash, later on, in the end of Vayikra,
and Bamidbar, I don't remember where, there is Geulas Olam Tiel Alevin. The word Geul is used often in Chumash, and probably in Nach, in reference to situations where the person or the item being redeemed, there's a payment made.
That's in Parashas Bahar. That's Parashas Bahar.
Right. So the word there Geula means there's a payment being made. So here the Targum, when he says Vogaalti Vo Efroik, there's going to be a transfer of something in exchange for allowing the Jewish people to go free. If that idea is correct, then it forces us to reanalyze the entire story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. I mean, there's the Geula, and being that Yitzias Mitzrayim is a template for the Geula L'Asalavo, so does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give something to the nations of the world in exchange for allowing us to go free? Can there be such a thing? Can there be such a principle that they're getting something? The Egyptians were all wiped out. They died. They were killed. They were destroyed, as far as we know. I mean, at least the Egyptians that chased after Klal Yisrael. The Sheish Meos Rechav Bachur. So what does this mean? This is something we have to keep in mind. But I think there's something deep, buried down, deep, very, very deep in this translation of Unkelus to define the true essence of Geula. Geula, it's too simplistic what the way we've been taught in elementary school. That redemption is for free. Hashem comes knocking on the door and says, okay, come with me, you're done. Then why would the Targum use the word ve'efroik? Which means, here's money, and let me have the people. I want to redeem them. And the last thing that certainly is also very precious is the word ve'lokachti. Velokachti, the way we are accustomed to translate the word velokachti, just a very boring, bland translation. I will take. You go into a room, you see something on the table, you pick it up. That's not what the Targum says. Va'akorev yoschein kodonai. I'm going to bring you near me. It's not picking you up. I'm bringing you close to me. That totally changed the connotation of the word velokachti. Let's just start a little bit over here, just to drop a little public things tomorrow. Migoy dechoy pulchan. Okay, this is what I told you about Rashi. The machleik is Rashi and the Targum. So what he picks up from a nation of the burdens of Egypt. Mitoch lachatz avoidas avoidas. You see, I was correct. He translates the word dechoy to mean lachatz. Lachatz is oppression, which, as I mentioned, has the connotation of forcing you to do more than you are physically capable of. Rashi was careful not to say that. Rashi just said it's a toirach, it's a burden. A burden is not a lachatz. It's very unpleasant. It's something you have to do. The whole life is a burden for many people. You have no choice. You go through all the different steps in life. Everything you have to most of the day, you're just doing obligations. You're not doing things which you really feel that you're growing from and you're accomplishing. It's a toirach, but it's not a lachatz. It's not someone's almost taking a whip to you and forcing you to do things you can't do. Targum is very tough here. Lachatz. Mashma me'unkelis shemefarish ki'orachayim shemetchilo yokel Hashem tekev ashibud v'achach v'hitzalti yaskan me'avoydasam. He's going over here into a whole different interpretation, a whole different idea. Okay, we'll just do this and we'll stop. So let's just finish up the idea. He's saying over here is that the geul is going to come in stages. The first part of the redemption is going to be the Yitzalti Yitzchem Yavodasa, means that the Avoida will be, the first part of the freedom will be that they're not going to have to work anymore. Power will say, he'll issue a proclamation that the Jewish people no longer have any obligations to engage in slave labor. And the Achar Kach, and then the Yitzalti Yitzchem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go and will save you, you'll be free entirely. The uncle is Kirash, he's saying the uncle is Deloy Kirash, the Amam Tirgame Sivlois Hu Polchon is work, the Loy Dechoy Polchon, and that's what he means over here, Ella Shanirish and Farsha Mila Mitachas Lashon Doichik, Ulachin Loy Tirgame Mitachois. He's saying different ideas over here. He's saying put in a contradiction. He's putting over here, he says the word mitachas. Sivlois Mitzrayim. And over here, at the end of the next pasuk, it says the word Avodasam. Where does it say Avodasam? Now that was going back before. Yeah, here. Yitzami Avodasam. Okay, I'm not even sure what he's saying. Okay, I don't want to delve too much into this, but he is acknowledging that the Targum is going very far by taking the word Sivlois and making it with Lachatz. And he is suggesting that the reason why the Targum is doing this is because the word Sivlois is connected to the word Tachas. Whenever you are underneath and there is something above you, that's crushing you. So when you take the word Tachas next to the word Sivlois, this lethal combination indicates that it's a Lachatz. If it would just be the word Sivlois independently, then Rashi would be right. It's a burden. It's a burden. It's a toirach masa, a burden. But being the way of the word tachas is defining the word sivlois, which means that the sevel is a sevel of tachas, and that means it's lachatz. Rashi appears to disagree. Rashi says it's a masa, a burden. Why a masa? Tachas. If you are underneath and there is something on top of you, that means that you are carrying a burden. And the sivlois just simply means it's a burden, it's a toirach. So it seems what's coming out over here is, we've gained from the Ma'atzari, that the word tachas is a very critical word to understand the word sivlois. According to Rashi, the word tachas and the word sivlois are independent. The word tachas is not coming to modify sivlois. Sivlois by itself means a burden. Tachas means you are carrying something on your car. Sivlois means it's a torach, a torach. It's a trouble. It's something that is you're not interested in doing. What are you not interested in doing? Carrying heavy loads. I have to go carry up and down the steps. Bricks. Is it going to kill me? No. Is it crushing labor? No, not necessarily. Do I want to do it? I don't want to do it. I don't have a choice. So I have to carry a masa, a bird. I have to carry a heavy load on my back. And sivlois, I was forced to do it. I don't have a choice. Am I being crushed? Not necessarily. Because we don't have here any word in this combination that indicates that I'm being tortured. I am carrying a heavy load, that's called tachas, and this heavy load that I'm carrying is called a sevel, meaning if it was up to me, I wouldn't be doing this. I would be doing something else. I would get a different type of job. But they're not letting me. They're forcing me to do this. That's Rashi. Each word is independent. Targum disagrees. Targum knows the word tachas is a modifier of the word sivlois. It's coming to define the sevel. The sevel is a sevel of tachas. The word sevel itself means, I don't want to do this. When you intensify the word sevel, that results in a different type of action, which he calls to be a lachatz, torture, oppression. Okay, we'll continue this Yishev tomorrow. Have a good evening. Thank you for coming.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Shkoyach.
So what's new there? What's doing in the world today?
I don't know.
What's doing with Trump?
What?
What's doing with Trump? What's he up to?
I don't know. It's such a bunch of hypocrites, you know. They try to get the media, try to get Harris, Camila, to come out for impeachment. But she's towing the line.
Why? Why is she? Why does she care? Why is she towing the line? She's going to. What do they care? They should. What's holding them back?
If they're going to be busy. The Senate will be busy with impeachment. They won't do anything else. They can't chew gum and breathe at the same time.
So they have nothing anyway to do. What else do they have to do? They have no agenda.
The Senate won't deal with it until, let's say, In 5 days later.
So good, so they'll do it 5 days later. So what else do they have to do? They have something else to do with themselves.
Go straight. First of all, they don't have enough numbers, and it'll schlep, and it'll put bad blood, you know.
What's doing now in Iran? There's an operation going on in Iran, it seems, right now. It seems like Israel is in Iran right now doing something very big.
I didn't know.
Iran, all the lights are off in Iran. The whole
grid,
it's on the news. The whole grid is down. The whole electric grid in the entire Iran is down. The rumors are that the United States and Israel are right now involved in a major, major operation.
Okay.
And it makes a lot of sense because Trump went, it was a decoy. Trump today is going to Texas. Why did Trump go to, he has nothing better to do, to go to Texas. A decoy.
The biggest stuss is that all Google and Facebook and Twitter all came out and closed them down. But Khomeini and Iran are saying, kill the Jews, that they didn't close down.
Of course not, because that's not on their agenda. Of course not.
You know that. So who are these big guys? These old Jews. The Jews running these agencies are the ones who are anti-Semites.
These people are. It's unbelievable what's going on. Do you see all these videos? They mama show in the cab. Do you see the video in the cab? They mama show the police opening up the gates and directing them where to go.
Yeah, I saw that, and I just saw a video that the people were yelling at the ones breaking the window and Antifa, and they told them stop breaking the windows.
They called for backup, and they said no, we're not sending you backup. They called for backup. They said no, you denied. What's good? This whole thing doesn't make one bit of sense.
And the FBI was in Flatbush today. They arrested that.
They arrested that boy. That boy, yeah, I know. It's terrible. I know.
It's in Michigan anyway, you know?
I know, but it's sad. It's very sad. It's very sad for his father. I know the boy. The boy is missing a few screws. Hopefully they'll have Rachmanis on him. I hope so. I mean, anyone that looks at his medications should right away say...
There was one woman who was punched by a policeman,
yeah,
whose daughter identified her. The daughter's 18,
yeah,
and the mother told the daughter, you can't go to a BLM, they're white.
Yeah.
The mother said, you can't go to BLM, you can't stay up all night with their meetings, we don't let you. And then she looks on TV, she sees a mother, an uncle, an aunt at the Trump rally. So right away, she put on the social media, Mom, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
They identified who she was.
They know every single person. Isn't it amazing? The FBI is able to find every single yokel on the picture, but when it comes to voter fraud, they're nowhere to be found. They're able to track down to the ends of the earth.
The FBI was submitted to the judge. What kind of judge is this on the FICA court, on the FISA court, that they admitted they sent him lies? Why doesn't the judge come up and say, you're in contempt?
I don't understand.
I don't understand that. Four people went, four repeated number times. The FBI lied. Judge knows it. And the CIA knows it. And the Clapper knows it.
There's so much, the fraud is unreal. It's unreal.
And Trump is not allowed to lie.
Unbelievable. The hypocrisy is off the charts.
Right.
But you should know there are a lot of from people that are mamish are so sympathetic to Biden and these lefties. So sympathetic. I got to hear people in Schmidman that are like that. I got to hear a guy in Schmidman, he mamish, he's...
My daughter came to visit on Sunday and we had a fight over this. She says, you support the guy with the Auschwitz shirt? I said, of course not. They're crazies there, but you know, there are 10,000 people are quietly demonstrating and have a right, 70 million people have a right to say something and you just want to wipe them out and excuse it? And Dershowitz also came out. He said, what kind of nonsense is this? You know?
Everyone, but the momentum is on Biden's side. But Biden said one word. Where's Biden? How come Biden doesn't go say anything? What kind of leader is this? He's a wimp. He's a wimp. Such a wimp. A wimp like none other.
Yeah, I told you my thing. If Trump is smart, he gives a deal to Pence. Pence gives him a
They met in the White House. Maybe that's why they met.
Just half a day, Pence resigns and lets Pelosi be for $5.
That's probably what they spoke about. Why Trump did not speak to Pence until yesterday. He didn't talk to him. He hates him. A traitor. So yesterday, for the first time, he spoke to him. He came, told him to come to the White House. What do you think they spoke about? Exactly what you spoke about. Spoke about, he wanted to feel him out. If I will retire, if things get really out of hand, if things get really, really bad, and I see what's going to happen, they're going to put me in jail, will you, if I retire, will you pardon me? He probably asked him point blank.
Look at this. It's all become political, and the Trump name is worthless now. All the companies are backing out of their deals with them, you know? It shows you the power of big business. The buck talks.
What, you think Trump's going to go bankrupt?
Netanyahu had a picture on his Twitter account of him and Trump. He took it down.
Netanyahu?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, new guys in town, you know, new sheriffs in town.
It's amazing. It's amazing the betrayal.
You know what's going on in Israel? They're finding Agud is being blasted because Gare and Vision's divided everything. And Bells claims that we have as much people as Gare, if not more. And Shomrei Emunah has more people. And they don't get nothing. Everything the Gares take for themselves. So Parish is now working on putting together their own party. So the Vizhnitzer went to his cousin, there's a Vizhnitzer in Haifa, Sarah Vizhnitzer, to convince him to drop Parish. And he told him, I'm not a coffee talker. For 50 years, the only one that's helped me is Parish. You guys didn't give me what I deserve. You didn't want to talk to me. You didn't even know my, you know. You ignored us and you may believe that we didn't exist. Now you have the chutzpah to come and ask me to be a kofi taiva? Forget it.
Wow. Woo.
There's a lot of this.
Yeah, but they say back, it's politics, politics, politics.
And you know what? Listen to this. There was this 16-year-old kid that was killed by a doctor in Belgrade. Now, what's his name? Sandik, Longbeyer. Abreast of a kid in the settlements.
Yeah.
And I had demonstrations all over Israel.
Yeah.
So there are a bunch of America's a rav,